Our Father God in heaven, thank you very much that you've given us your word in the Bible. But Father, you haven't left us alone in isolation from one another. You have put us together, and thank you very much for giving gifts to your church in the form of people to instruct us and teach us. Father, we pray now that as Dan preaches, that we would indeed hear the word of God as he teaches faithfully from your word. Father, please don't let it just hit our ears and that's it, but may your message of grace address us to our very hearts, address us particularly on the subject of worry. Teach us to live today, we pray, in your world. Amen.
How does grace help us deal with real life? How does grace come in even there too? Not the dramatic moments, not the one-off major events. In John's Gospel, Mary and Martha also come up when Jesus raises their brother Lazarus from the dead. Obviously a moment of profound grace, obviously a pivotal event. But what about ordinary life, real life, normal life? How does grace come in even there too? You might simply be worried about another person, stressed out about all you've got to do, even a little bit bitter at Jesus because of what he's let happen. How does grace come in even there too? And speak even there too. This afternoon, I want us to see how grace overcomes our doubts, our worries, our stresses, how grace lets us choose something better. We can be free to choose it, this better thing. Liberated, able to give ourselves to it fully. And this is the best thing, or the best portion. Something that we really need for our lives. Tonight, I want you to see how grace overcomes our doubts, our worries, our stresses, because in that moment, grace lets us choose to do something better. Now, what does that even mean? What do I mean? And how can that work, and why is that so? Well, first of all, we're going to look at the best thing, or what this passage calls the best portion, the best meal. There in verse 42, what's truly best for our lives. So first up, we're going to look at that. And then secondly, we're going to look at grace. And we're going to see how grace lets us choose that in the moment of stress or worry or doubt. So first of all then, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a certain village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She also had a sister called Mary, who moreover sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Mary was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came up to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, really only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." There are so many things that worry us, but few of them are actually needed. In fact, really, there's only one thing that we need. In other words, Jesus' new way of living that he's bringing is so much more important than even our most important needs. Jesus' new way of living is so much more important than even our most important needs. If that's the case, then how much more does Jesus' new way take priority over our unnecessary worries? If Jesus' new way of living is more important than even our most important needs, then how much more does his new way take priority over unnecessary worries? There are so many things that worry us, and only a few of them are actually needed, really. Really, only one. There are so many things that worry us, and only a few of them are actually needed. I'm sure if you got some perspective on your life, you would agree with me. Only a few of them are actually needed. Here's the radical thing that Jesus is saying in this passage. Really, there is only one thing that we need. Him, and how we are to him. That's all. That's all we need for life. Now, how can that be? And what does that mean?
As we're in Luke's gospel and we meet Jesus as he's on his way up to Jerusalem. And as he goes, he leaves behind towns and villages, even households and individuals who have been changed forever. They've seen something of his new way. They've seen something of his new kingdom. They've caught a glimpse of it and they've been changed forever. In other words, as he goes up to Jerusalem and as he turns aside to a certain village, and as he turns down a certain driveway to a certain home, and as he comes to this place where Martha opens up her house to him, as he comes here, he's not pausing his mission. He's not putting it on hold. No, this is an important part of his mission, this episode. Because here, he's giving us a glimpse of his mission. He's showing us what his destination is going to be. He's showing us what his kingdom is going to be like. He's showing us what's going to happen when he finally gets to Jerusalem. What happens when he lays down his life for us in Jerusalem. Just what that's going to bring about and how that will be a new way and how that will be a better way and how all you need to do is come to him. You don't earn it. You don't earn your place, not in his kingdom. He's at the centre of this new kingdom and he's just giving it to us. He's made this new way in the world and he's just giving it to us. That's what grace means. And that's all you really need.
The medieval church used to understand, they loved this passage, the medieval church, this one we're reading.
And they used to understand it that Martha was secular and Mary was the contemplator. And so Martha was the symbol of secular work, like farming or governing or household things. But Mary was the symbol of Christian work, so full-time Christian ministry, which is better. And so they use this passage to say everyone should go into full-time Christian ministry. The medieval church understood this passage that Martha was the secular but Mary was the contemplator and that's what we should all be. But that's not true. It's really not true and I need you to see why. Look closely. Martha is not being distracted from ministry to Jesus by her secular work. She's not distracted from ministry to Jesus. She's being distracted by her ministry to Jesus. She's being distracted with ministry to Jesus. She's giving everything for Jesus too. She's busting her hump for Jesus too. She's breaking her back for Jesus too. She's got pots on the boil and stoves on the go and the hairs frazzling out the side and she's running from here and there for Jesus too. And that's exactly what the problem is. This is a new way, this is a better way that Jesus is bringing because all you need to do is come to him. That's all you need to do. That's the way he's bringing. That's why he's going to Jerusalem. There's only one thing that's needed. But she can't do that. She can't have that, not Martha, because she's been distracted by unnecessary things. In other words, she can't do what is needed, which is to come to him. Let me put it like this. There are two ironies in this passage. Number one is that she's so busy serving him, she's actually come to resent him. I wonder if this has ever happened to you. No, wait, who am I kidding? Of course this has happened to you. We all do this. The people we've decided to serve, we end up resenting because we decided to serve them. It just doesn't work out as we thought, or it's harder than we thought, or we feel like they don't care about it, or we come to realise that we never really wanted to do it anyway, and the only reason why we're doing it is because they're expecting us to, or we feel like they're expecting us to. We decided to serve them, often without them even asking us. We felt their expectation, whether it was real or not. And in the end, we somehow end up blaming them for what we've taken on. We blame them for the time we've spent, or we blame them for the things we've given up. In verse 40, if you look at verse 40, it says quite literally, Martha was frantic with all her work in the kitchen.
"Lord," she said, standing up to where they were, "don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? You tell her to help me. You tell her to help me. Don't you care?" This is Mary's fault, but it's really Jesus' fault, because he's allowed this to happen. "Don't you realise I'm doing this for you? So why aren't you supporting me?" The irony is that she's so busy serving him, she's come to resent him. And like I say, we do this in our lives too. She was doing it to Jesus, to Jesus. Let me ask you, do you do this to Jesus too? That you're resentful of him because you say, "Look at what I did." That you're resentful of him because you say, "You demanded more than I could give." That you're resentful of him because you say, "I was doing it for you, but you didn't care. You didn't let it work out like I had planned, but I was doing it for you, you know." We all do this in our lives too. She was doing this to Jesus of all people. Let me ask you, do you do this to Jesus too? No, this is a new way. This is a better way, because all we need to do is come to him and he'll take care of the rest. That's the only thing needed from now on. And that's what makes this way so good. Can you see how good this is? Like I say, there are two ironies in the passage. The first is that she's so busy serving him, she's come to resent him. The second is that she's so busy serving him, she can't actually come to him. She can't actually do what is needed. The word there in verse 40, if you look at verse 40, the word there in verse 40 is that she was distracted away from her many servings, or distracted away by her many servings, taken away, swept away. Perhaps she wanted to sit at Jesus' feet too. She couldn't. She's distracted away, taken away, swept away, so busy serving she can't even come to him. See, there is only one thing that you need to do with Jesus, but she couldn't even do that, even though she was serving him. Do you get it? Do you see how strange it is? There are so many things that you can do for Jesus if you want, but there's only one thing that you must do. She couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. As Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, he's not pausing his mission here to go to his friend's house. No, this is a part of it, because he's showing what his kingdom will bring and what his kingdom will be like. And this is going to be a new way. This is going to be a better way, because all we need to do is come. That's it. Only one thing is needed in his kingdom. One thing. From now on, he is going to be the source of our life. From now on, we're going to look to him for everything. He is going to be our daily bread. He is going to give us our every breath. He is going to give us our eternity. He is going to be the sun at the centre of our universe. He is the source of life and everything in it. Jesus is. In other words, all we need is him. And to have him, all you've got to do is come. That's all. Can you see how good this way is? Can you see how free this way is? All you have to do is come. Let me ask you, have you understood this yet? Have you understood that there's only one thing needed with Jesus? Because until you do, you don't have him. You don't have him. You haven't got him. Until you do, you can't come. Even though you might be serving with many servings, you might be frustrated with your many servings of Jesus. But if it's about you serving him with your many servings, you serving him, then you don't have him, not yet, because you still think it's about you. And that was a little bit like what Sarah was talking about before. She thought it was about her having to do the repenting in order to get right, each time repenting, each time doing, saying, each time praying, each time making sure she'd done the right thing. There are many things that you can do, but there's only one thing you need to do. And that is grace. That is what we're talking about for these 4 weeks. There's only one thing you need to do. Come to him. Receive it. Welcome it. And he will take care of all of the rest. Perhaps you're new here to church. Don't you want to be a part of this new way that he's brought? I know you do. Perhaps you've been around for ages. You've been here for ages, but it's for some reason it's like you're hearing it for the very first time tonight. Don't you want to be a part of this new way too? I know you do. Don't you want to be able to give yourself fully to this new way? I know you do. Where all your needs are taken care of, where all your necessities are supplied, where all you have to do is come, not serve, not services, not me doing things to him. No, just come. Don't you want to be a part of that and give yourself to that? I know you do. I know you do. But how do you actually do that? And how do we give ourselves fully to him? How do we give ourselves fully to him all the time? Not just in a dramatic moment, not just in a pivotal event where the train is coming straight for you and you say, "Oh, Jesus, help," or something like that. But what about Monday morning? What about the kitchen sink? What about normal life, daily life? Because you know what? That's who we really are. Who we really are is who we are on Monday morning. Who we really are is who we are on Tuesday afternoon. It's not those one-off pivotal events that define us. So how does grace help us deal with real life? Well, that's point two. So first of all, we looked at what was best, and now we're going to look at grace and how grace lets us choose that. And so we need to look at verse 41. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only a few things are needed, really only one. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." Martha, Martha. He speaks so tenderly to her because he knows how hard it is for us to give ourselves fully to him. Why? Why is it so hard? It's free. Just walk over there and take it. He knows how hard it is to give ourselves fully to him. See, first of all, there's control. And control keeps us from giving ourselves fully to him. Because there's the preparations and the arrangements, and if no one does it, then I have to do it, and they left me to do it, and if I don't go through with it, then it won't happen. And control keeps us from giving ourselves fully to him. But in that moment when we just need to seize control and take control and grab on, in that moment, grace lets us choose something better. Grace, get this, here we go. Grace lets us choose just to trust him. But how's it going to happen, and who will pick them up, and how's he going to get to sleep, and what's going to happen for dinner, and how will they go over there, and what's going to happen? Grace lets us choose just to trust him. Because grace says there's only one thing that I need to do in my life. Grace lets us choose to do that one thing, just trust him. And everything else, but everything else I can leave up to him to do. He can bring about the outcome. He can make it happen or not happen. By all means, you know, we keep working on it. We don't have to let go of everything completely. By all means, we keep working on it. But grace lets me trust the final outcome to him. Our daily bread, our daily breath. My kids' school, eternity. My job, my salvation, my studies. By all means, we keep working on it, but in all of them, I get to trust the final outcome to him. Grace says there's only one thing I need to do, trust him, and the rest I can just hand over. That's what he's saying here in this passage, isn't it? There's only one thing you need to do. Look, let me make this concrete. Imagine here you are, you're at home, and you're just stressed. You're so stressed about everything that's going on. There's the thing to pack up and the thing to send out, and I've got to make sure I'm over there to drop it off too. And grace can actually overcome that doubt and worry and stress at that moment. Because in that very moment, Grace lets me choose something even better, just to trust him. Just to trust him. Grace says there's nothing else you need to do. But what about then? How will it happen? Because what's going to happen then? What if it doesn't happen? What if it does happen? What if my house falls over? What if it doesn't fall over? What if Fiona gets off to Latin America, Fiona Lockett? What if she doesn't? What about the job thing? What if that happens? What if it doesn't? What if the school thing happens? What if it doesn't? Does it really matter? And more to the point, we can actually trust him to let it happen or not. We can actually trust him to bring about the final outcome. Jesus is the best portion. He is what this passage calls the best part. And he will never be taken away. He will always be in your life, working for your good, working to bring about the best thing, working to bring about everything that you need. And all you've got to do is trust him. That's the one thing. Just trust him. But what? I know it's hard. That's why he says, Martha, Martha. He knows it's hard. Because in that moment of stress, I'm about to explode. I just go, hang on, does it really matter if this thing happens or not? Well, no. But more to the point, I can actually trust Jesus to let it happen or not. And that doesn't mean I have to give up doing it altogether. I can keep doing it. But I can let him bring about the result. Maybe he'll let it happen, maybe he won't. Maybe he'll bring it about, maybe he won't. How good is that? How freeing is that? In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Can you hear it in those words too? All you need to do is come and he'll take care of the rest. Can you hear it in those words too? Now can you see how grace sets us free from worry and anxiety and stress? The fact that only one thing is needed, that all I have to do is entrust myself to him. Now can you see how good this thing called grace is? Now can you see how it helps us in our daily life, in real life? Martha, Martha. Jesus speaks tenderly to her because he knows how hard it is to give ourselves fully to him. Why? It's free. Just take it. Just come. He knows how hard it is to give ourselves fully to him. See, first of all, there's control, and control stops us. But then second of all, there's expectation and how that stops us from giving ourselves to him. You know, it's expected that Martha would give a great rabbi an even greater meal. It's expected of her. And if she didn't, she would feel that disapproval. If she didn't, there would be those eyes. The eyes of disapproval would be on her. Martha felt the eyes looking over her shoulder. But here is where grace lets her choose something better. Because with grace, Christ has given me the approval. He has given me his approval for free. And all I have to do is welcome it, accept it, believe it, receive it. That's all I have to do to have Christ's approval. Have it. He approves of me. He loves me. He's my companion. It didn't cost me anything. He gave it to me. It's his new way. It's called grace. Do I feel lonely? Yes, many times. Do I feel cut off? Disapproved of? Yes, of course I do. We all do. By the way, we all do here at church feel cut off, disconnected sometimes. We all do. Do I feel lonely, cut off, disapproved of? At the very same time, he loves me. At the very same time, he's my companion. My true companion, always with me, approving of me, giving me grace. Grace can overcome doubt and worry and stress. What will they think? What will they say? Those disapproving eyes, those eyes are looking over my shoulders. There's those eyes of disapproval that I feel. Grace overcomes doubt and worry and stress because he has given me his approval. There's only one thing I need. Accept it. Accept it. You know, so much bitterness and resentment in churches comes from people feeling their expectations. I don't know who they are, but you're in church and you feel their expectations on you. Even just feeling their expectations is enough, whether they're real or not. And so often I think they're not actually real. Those expectations don't exist. A lot of the times we're just being oversensitive. But just feeling their expectations is so crushing. Those eyes are on you. Jesus didn't have these expectations of Martha, did he? She put them on herself, or others put them on her, but he didn't put them on her. He was taking them off her. He's saying it in these words. That's what these words are saying. Only one thing is needed. I'm not expecting anything more from you. Nothing more. One thing. Come to me. One thing. Accept my grace. That was all. He's saying it for you there. Have you ever felt their expectations here at church? Have you felt that before? Well, Jesus is saying these words for you tonight. Only one thing is needed. Have that. And at that point where you feel under their expectations, and at that point where you feel stressed by their expectations, his grace lets you choose something so much better. Come to me. All you are laden, and I will give you rest. He gives you his approval, and all you have to do is come. And you can be free of their expectations. Martha, Martha, it's hard, isn't it? Imagine being like Mary. Imagine being like Mary. How could we be like Mary? She chose what was better. In fact, she chose what was best. She put all those things to one side and she gave herself fully to Jesus. Imagine being able to do that. Imagine being able to put all that disapproval to one side, whether it's real disapproval or I'm just being oversensitive, whatever it is. Imagine being able to put all Martha's disapproval to one side. Imagine being able to put all that control of the situation to one side. All the projects, all the busyness. Imagine being able to drop everything. Everything. Can you see her there in the passage? Soaking up every word. Drinking in everything that Jesus said. There at his feet. Her eyes sparkling, her mind alive. So excited by what Jesus was saying to her. How could we be more like that? Well, some people say, you need to do more. More reading, more prayer, more here at church. The contemplative life. Other people say, well, you need to do less. Less work, less responsibility, go easy, take it easy on yourself. And those may be true for various times of our lives. Those may be true at various times of our life. But tonight, I want to talk about something deeper, something more primary, something that's true for all people all the time. And it's not a change of habit, do more or do less. Not a change of habit, but a change of your heart. A change of your heart. How can we be more like Mary? Grace. His grace to us. The fact that only one thing is needed. Believing that, accepting that. He will look after me. Only one thing is needed. He approves of me. Only one thing is needed. He's in control. Only one thing is needed. I don't have to worry about others. Only one thing is needed. Tonight, can you accept, can you welcome his grace and so be like Mary? Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus' new way, his better way, because only one thing is needed, that we come to him. And he will give us rest, and he will totally look after our lives. Oh Lord, please help us to be like Mary and not Martha. Amen.